Cindy, wake up call on CFRC coming to you live from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University. You know the deal. But I always love when we have Queen students who are also musicians who have the time to come in the show. Michael Zuzic, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
So do you have class today?
No, actually Thursday's the day off.
Thursday's the day.
Yeah, lucky day.
Well, I'm glad because we do make a lot of musicians skip school to come in the Indie wake up call. So very good. You're in fourth year.
I am.
And we just heard one of your new singles, right? Like
yes.
This is all new.
This is relatively new. Yeah, this is that came out June 19th. So
okay,
not
so we've
even
got
3 months.
And
now.
We've got another single we're going to talk about as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you've been playing music. I was talking to you before we came on the show. You have played live shows in Kingston mm-hmm. for a while. You're in fourth year now, and you got a big show that's coming up this weekend. Muse Mini Desk is up and running again. We're very excited about that. We'll get some details about how people can go to that. But it's different when you release an album, right?
It is. It's a very strange thing, actually.
So Big Summer, you released your debut album. Okay, take me to how that all got started. And like, it's a journey, right?
Oh my gosh, is it ever a journey? I mean, so COVID hits. And
so many stories start this way.
It's true. It's very true. It's
so true.
I mean, I was a classically trained pianist since I was five. So COVID hits and I'm no longer doing like piano teaching with my teachers and whatnot.
Right.
But I've gotten, you know, my grade six in Broyle Conservatory. I've gotten my advanced theory rudiments and all that. So it's like, what do I want to do with music, really? So COVID hits and I don't really go to class online because your grades can't go down. So I play piano like 6 hours a day, right? And then I get good at it like more than I already was. And I started to play the stuff I want to play. And I started listening to records. I started listening to vinyl and buying vinyl. And it's like, maybe I want to make a record. So I start writing songs. And years go by. And then like a year and a half go by. And it's like, okay, I actually have some stuff that I like. Maybe I have it.
Yeah.
Looking from there to now, only one of those songs that I initially had on the 12 song albums on my current album Everest.
Okay.
So that's just how fast things changed. And I mean, come the start of this year, 2024, I knew everything was going to be done this summer, produced, mastered, ready to be released. So then I just found a great marketing agent called Michael Stover. He helped me a lot, got songs on radio play, got me press releases and interviews and everything. And then, come August 1st, we did a huge release show down in Etobicoke where I live in the summers at home. We had about 275 people there. Huge event.
Big.
It was a huge event.
Yeah.
The bar's been open for like a year, so it was great for them. It was great for us.
Sure.
And that was the night, and then the album came out the next day, and it's been great since.
So I'm very curious about this because classically trained musicians always, I don't know, like I do elevate you guys. I do, because you put so much work in. When you said you started to wanted to play what you wanted to play, and you started buying albums that fostered that. I hear this a lot. Like the discipline of Royal Conservatory is such a foundation.
Truly.
Such a foundation. What did you buy? What did you stray towards that was what you wanted to listen to and play?
Good question. Well, my dad has a huge collection.
There we go.
So I don't even know. He has so much stuff and he's like the biggest Led Zeppelin fan I know. But the one thing he didn't have on vinyl was like Zep 4. I'm like, Dad, like, what? Yes. You mean you're the biggest?
That's
you
know, a pop
like,
culture reference right there.
Of course, yeah. But he had lots of Beatles. And so Beatles are like my, you know, everything, truly. Like, as a musician, I'll probably get a tattoo one day just of the White Album font.
Okay.
Right? But so the first thing I ever listened to on vinyl, I set up his player outside because it was the summer and I have a nice garage. I have a couch that I own out there and some flags and whatnot. And Abbey Road was the first thing I played on vinyl. So then I just started collecting all the Beatle vinyl he didn't have. He had an American press of Revolver, so it didn't have three of John's songs, right?
Right.
Because Capitol had control of what they wanted
to keep or get rid of. Yeah, I didn't know any of that. Thank you. I'm nodding, but like, I don't know that.
So stuff like that. I just shopped for Beatles. I shopped for Pet Sounds, totally. Lots of Zeppelin, lots of the band, right? And that's, I think, where a lot of my sound comes from. It's like powerful vocal intensity, lots of vocal layering, but also kind of cool writing that I think the band really revolutionized.
Is that your record collection now?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's like, Dad, it's just been moved over here.
He comes downstairs and he's kind of upset about it.
Did you refile them in different ways?
No, I kept it alphabetically like he did. It's pretty impressive, actually. He has like a organized chaos.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So I imagine, so you're playing at the Mansion this weekend. Maybe we should cover that a little bit too. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Michael Zuzak. He's here with us playing at Mansion this weekend with Muse at the Mini Desk. What can people know about that show?
Well, this is the fifth annual Muse Mini Desk. Essentially, Muse, if we're not familiar for the listeners, Muse is the premier music, art, and fashion magazine at Queen's University, all student-run, award-winning, more or less every year that I've known about it. So this has been about 5 years I've known about it now. I worked with them last year as a podcast editor for the Muse podcast with the lovely Jamie Frank. I'll be doing that again this year. And basically Muse just kind of foster as much art amongst Queen students as they can. So what will happen on Tuesday is there will be maybe 8 to 10 acts. I'm not sure the exact number, playing at the Mansion. Everyone will have a 20-minute set. You will set up, we'll play, we'll strip down, go to the next musician. It'll be a very fast turnover and lots of different sounds, lots of different original music, lots of different covers. There will be people like just me playing my piano, people just playing their guitar, and there'll probably be full-sized bands. So lots to hear.
So good. So many friends will be there, but also fellow musicians. That's always great, right? To see it that is. In the audience.
Yeah.
So good. So you have, you're on your own. Are you, you're not playing with any of your musician buddies? Okay. Because you do record, you were just, we were just talking about off the air. You did have some other musicians join you, friends,
best friends.
How do you, okay. Band so they're members. Best friends, band, best friends, band members. Mm-hmm. What's it like? Are they also classically trained?
No.
Okay.
My one friend, Martin, who's the brilliant bassist of my record.
I said I did like that bass. I did like that.
He probably started doing guitar lessons maybe in grade 11, so 2016, 2017-ish. Okay. And that's about it. My one friend, Marco, is so gifted. You can be like, Marco, it's E major, and he won't be able to find that at all. But as you can see, if you listen to some of the other songs in the album, I'd say All Comes Back is like... The most Marco thing, in my opinion. I'm just like, Marco, play a solo. He's like, what do you want it to sound like? It's like, man, I don't know. He flips through a tone. I'm like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. And he just plays the most wicked stuff off the top of his brain. It's shocking.
That's great. Now, have you guys played live together?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah, me, Martin, and Marco have been playing live since probably we were 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this summer, our big show for my album release was like piece of cake, right?
Yeah.
We're practicing for 2 months prior and... We knew we were going to be fine. So we kind of just took time to get everything sorted.
Okay. So how do you write? Cause you wrote the album, this is your album and they accompany you. Is that
correct?
The writing process. Like I know we did talk a little bit about COVID was very much a time you could do that, but how do you know when something's what you want on your album? Cause it sounded like only one of the original songs that you thought would be on the album. Like, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
No, it's a good question. I mean, I did the math cause I keep all my lyrics on my notes. I ended up doing 12 songs on Everest and I wrote 30 over probably 3 years. So how do you know? I mean, it's a very good question. It's really very subjective. There's a song on the album that I really like because it's like a very 60s-ish song in my opinion, which is what I was trying to go for. I was trying to recreate 60s sounds, 70s sounds, real musicians, real music. And you know, it's a great song, but there's another song in the catalog, right? That I didn't put on the album that some of my friends would have liked to have on instead. Martin, I'm talking to you.
Okay.
So it's like, how do you choose? And the way I look at it is if I like a song, I know it's a good song, right? Just because I feel like I've listened to so much music and so much music from the era I'm trying to recreate. I just know if you get a good feeling while you're playing it, if you get a good feeling while you're recording it, that's the big difference as well. You can write a great song, but to make it sound good on a record, on a recording is very, very different.
And to perform alive too, right?
Completely.
All of those are different components for sure. I want to ask you too, like as a piano player, I would imagine you played a lot of shows. You come in with your keyboard for the Muse show. But have you had a venue piano that you've had to play where you walk into a venue and you're like, okay, this is my piano tonight?
I know. I would love that.
Have you had that?
No, not yet.
We got to make that happen.
I know.
There's got to be a church somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I
know a couple, but I want that for you. Though.
I used to play organ in my elementary school, church, I guess, days. I must have been 9 and 10 playing the organ in church. Stuff like that. I've done grand pianos and I've done like a 500.
Was it one of those like double layer?
It was. Yeah. Yeah. So I did those for some of my piano recitals growing up. One of my mom's closest friends, her brother has a $500,000 piano in Florida that he recently sold. Very upsetting.
Oh my God.
All gold, but it was brilliant to play,
all
right?
All gold.
All gold. I know.
I want that for you too. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I think one day I'll get that. I wrote most of the album on a upright grand.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very authentic in the recording
for
too,
sure.
Right?
Like, these are all real upright pianos.
You can tell,
Not keyboards.
It's hard to duplicate that, right?
Very hard. Oh yeah, it actually is. That's one of the things when I'm going to bed, I'm like, well, how do you make a piano sound like that? Like really on recording. It's very difficult.
I don't think AI is ever going to get that. I hope not. I don't think so.
I agree. I hope not.
All right. So we're going to play another song. Mm-hmm. It's called Greystone. Maybe break that down for us.
Okay. Well, Greystone, that was written in my best friend Scott's room. I live with him. I was just playing just random piano stuff in the morning as I always do. And he's like, oh, that's a good melody. Keep that. So I did. And I went downstairs and I probably spent the next 2 days working on it. Probably only like about 2 hours of time actually spent getting the chord progression and then the lyrics together. One of my longer spent amount of time finishing a song. I can usually do stuff pretty quick, but this one is really important to me. It's kind of like, I always look at it as my Penny Lane or Strawberry Fields. It's like personal about my growing up, about my life. Greystone is the street I grew up on.
Okay.
Or grew up on, I guess. So that's kind of what that is.
All right, well, we're going to play it. And Michael, we're going to see you at the mansion this weekend. Anything else this semester coming up that we can look
forward
to?
Yes, actually, October 5th, I'll be headlining the Clark Hall Pub.
Oh, my God. Yes, right next door.
Right next door. That'll be a really fun Saturday. It'll be just me again.
Okay.
And you'll probably have an hour to an hour and a half set. So I'll be bringing some water.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks for popping in today.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you in here. This is Greystone on the Indie Wake Up Call.
Every time you choose. stop feeling even when you're brought so low. The numbness kills us, it'll haunt you deep and slow. And what do I know? Would you listen to me? Go on trying to find my voice. I think it's almost gone. Everything's here and nothing's lost. As long as you don't give up on us, we might be broken, might be bruised, but I'm with you anytime, every time you choose.
I stop. out the store. It's what men in stained raincoats pay for. But in here, it's pure, yeah.
People are
Jeremy Dutcher, who happened to win the Polaris Prize on Monday. Rue, you're here.
I'm here. I finally made it.
So I was saying earlier, my streak, my 2 out of 3 Polaris streak. Yes, I did not predict the winner accurately because I was like, oh, if I show up, then I predict and that's who wins. No, Cindy Lee did not win. Jeremy Dutcher won. It was a great performance. It was a fun night in Toronto. But the night before, I think that was the better night of the two. I was talking about this to a few people. They're like, which night was better?
I think if you're biased towards a lot of fun, you're going to think the first night was a lot better.
The best touring rock band in the world right now is The Hives.
The Hives.
You and I mean, we were posting photos of our experiences. I was in a comfortable seat, like drinking some cocktails. You were in the front getting your head kicked.
Oh, yeah. I nearly got my ribs crushed in. It was a great show.
Oh, my God. It was so good. And I do this all the time. Like, I hype something so much that it's only going to disappoint me. That did not happen. That did not happen. No, like, I was expecting a lot.
And they did better.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Do you know how old Pelle Almquist is?
47.
47.
He's 47 years old. So there were moments you're like, Dad, like, because it's they're such dads, right? Like, they're such dads.
But they've also had that exact same attitude since they were, like, 21.
Yeah, they have. Like, it's still the same stuff. But, like, when he's climbing up on the speakers and the kicks, I'm like, holy crap. But there's some beautiful photos on their Instagram. Hey, on ours as well.
On ours?
Videos of them just tearing it up.
Oh, and yeah. I love the thing that he does where he just swings his mic up wildly and then catches it.
Well,
which has caused him trouble before because there was that one time when it took him out of the tour for a couple of days because he missed and it landed on his forehead.
And it bled.
And there was, I mean, I guess it's a very iconic photo now, but, you know, that's Howlin' Pelle Almquist for you.
And I love that, like, oh, the tour, like, it's, I'm like, the tour never ends. Like, they were like, oh, we just started our tour. I'm like, you didn't start this tour. It's been going on forever.
They did do history 6 months ago in October as well. Same venue. And from all accounts, the same result. It was, again, a wild show. But they say it was an even better one this time. All I can say is a record so good they had to tour it twice.
It was. And again, it built and all these fans just kept coming. Mm-hmm. So I love when a legacy band like that has a single from like 2004, I think it was.
2001?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they put out an album, you know me, with this album, Death of Randy Phantasm. Like, it was great album, regardless of, you know, the nostalgia. Like, no, the current album, the current songs.
Oh, people were screaming the words to the new album.
So absolutely good.
I don't know if you've seen the music video that they just put out for Rigor Mortis.
Yes.
You would not expect it of a band that's been going for so long. It's them kind of doing this coordinated ballet dance in their striped coordinated suits. I mean, I love what, they've been asked about the suits, obviously. And Pelle just says that, you know, we think we have to put in a bit more effort to give our audiences, you know, what they came for. A bit of, like, showbiz rock and roll. And the easiest, cheapest way to do it is to wear the same clothes every night.
Like, what's the stretch factor in that fabric? Like, I'm in clothing, right? I'm like, how many suits are there? Like, how many times is the butt ripped out on them? Like, so
how
good.
How often do they get washed is the thing.
Gross.
That I feel like when I talk to people with the Hives, it often comes down to that question.
Because by the end, Hal and Pete, like, it's all undone and his shirt's all wet. He looks like a disheveled uncle at a wedding that went wrong. Yeah.
All of them, they kind of just lose it. And then you're like, I hope that's getting washed the next day.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know if we've even seen them at their peak. What a band. So yeah, The Hives on Monday night, you know, we were excited for it. Did not disappoint. You went to see Pulp, by the way.
I went to see Pulp. I feel like this should almost be the bigger headline over here because, come on, they didn't tour here when they came in 2012. They did a few dates in the U.S. So the last time we saw them, well, I wasn't born, 1998.
There you go. Yes. You weren't even born. And all reviews in were
absolutely
astounded.
Fantastic. Again, yeah. Jarvis Cocker, 60 years old. You would not be able to tell because he was dancing for the entirety of the 2 hours, just like all over the place. And they do this really dramatic thing with some of their songs where they work it into the lights and visual show, you know? So, like, they've got the song Sunrise about, like, being awake at the end of the night, 5 a.m., and you're really disappointed and everything. And you have this, like, strobe light just coming down, harsh, bright yellow, and Jarvis is all just, like, shielding his eyes and stuff. And it's such a dramatic performance. This is hardcore as well. You just see him kind of, like, lounging in a chair with, like, a glass in his hand and just doing this really, like, languid kind of, like... We heard the song, This Is Hardcore, just now.
Yeah.
Which is not a song I would expect to hear normally on Indie Wake Up Call, but such a good performance, so dramatic. Oh, goodness. And then you just see, like, his kind of recaps of it on his Instagram afterwards, and they're just really having the best time.
So, we knew September was going to be stacked for you and I.
Stacked.
What do you got coming up next?
Well, I don't know what I've got coming up, but this weekend, if you are into a certain kind of music, English Teacher opening for Idols.
I played English Teacher earlier, and what a double bill.
What a bill.
Incredible. Incredible.
The next weekend, if you are of a more kind of DIY kind of scene thing, go see Bob Villain. They're playing Toronto and Montreal. What a vital band. And then they have a guy opening for them called Hyphen, whose music is also just equally cutting. So it's just like, if you are into a certain kind of, let's say, British music, because a lot of what I've mentioned is British music. A lot of that is this weekend, next weekend, and my God, what shows they're going to be.
Oh my God, getting in the car and leaving town. But meanwhile, we were talking about so much going on in town as well. I want to remind everyone, too, the Mo Kenny tickets are on our Instagram, and we've got some comments there. You can win those tickets. We're going to announce the winner tomorrow. Cassador is in town this weekend, and we just had Michael in the music. Tiny Desk is happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. So much. And yeah, I'm getting in the car next weekend to go to Quebec City for Billie Eilish's opening night, and Phineas might not be there. Phineas, he put a whole... I said this earlier. Show. He put a whole Instagram thing in saying he's not going to be on a lot of the dates because he has his own album and his own tour.
No way.
I'm a little bit crestfallen, but I think he'll be there opening night, right?
Surely.
I mean, I don't know.
Do you think he'd skip it because Quebec isn't the most obvious of locations?
But it's a great time to practice. I don't know. Anyway, I'm with some really serious Billy fans, so there's a lot going on right now in their texts.
One local news I think I should drop before we go in. Clark has a new house band. The Battle of the Bands happened on the Saturday, and there was a winner. So now we'll be seeing this band a lot more often. They're called the Clay Pigeons.
Yes. Okay, great. Okay, yes. More Battle of the Bands information. Let's get the Clay Pigeons into the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a goal. We got to get them in here.
Guys, if you're listening, our door's always open.
Always open. Okay, so we're going to play. Some Bogus Operandi because my God.
Love it. That's how they opened the show.
God.
And it is fantastic.
I was so happy. And then I want to play No Bro because, and this one also goes out to Chance, who was just in the studio. At the Polaris, like, you can kind of judge them based on the performance of that night, and that's not what you're there for. You're, you know, it's there for the album and the whole thing.
Yes.
No Bro knocked it out of the park. They were the best performance of the night. So good, great transitions, and just there to party. And then we're going to play Bob Villain, who you just mentioned, that maybe if you want to get in the car, you go to shows. We got to save some gas in the tank for Fontaines, right? We're not sick yet.
No. That's coming up.
Let's keep going. Okay, Indie Wake Up Call. We got to get out of here. All right, here's some Bogus Operandi, The Hives. Let's go.
We'll be right back. breaking. You're gonna think you're gone blind. I only need a moment, moments come around. You're gonna think you're gone blind. I told you.
Especially when my dear mommy ain't home. culture is your root. And don't shun the talent of the children.
Warm souls occupy a cold flat. New shoes, new coat, old hat. Seen it all and I won't go back. Nah, I've been there, yeah, I've done that. Ooh, big dreams that swelling in my head. Big dreams, big boy, big bed. Wanna share more, but the last time I did, I learned some things I better left unsaid.
Cause where I come from, we lock our dreams in a box. Pedal back and forth all day and tuck our jeans in our socks. Pray the alphabet is full and all our peas don't get robbed. Where everybody bears a cross, but barely believes in God. You see, it's hard sometimes, but we make it somehow. And if we can't make it, then we'll take it, give it now. Hand it over, little buddy, all my dreaming is I'm scheming. I'm an angel in the daytime, but I'll kill you in the evening. Dream big, kid, dream big. Dream big, kid, dream big.
Hey, this is Begonia, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Agnes Etherington Art Center welcomes new and returning students for Orientation Week activities. From September 16th to the 21st,